Madden Monday podcast on Trib Live. After the Steelers lose 38-3 to the Buffalo Bills, it was the worst loss for the Pittsburgh Steelers since 1989, when they were defeated 51-0 in their season opener. This very well may have been a season closer. Mark, I guess the spark of Kenny Pickett didn't carry over 1 week, did it?
Well, and I'm not sure the spark was all that meaningful last week. He did, after all, preside over a 20-10 fourth quarter advantage at home over a pretty bad team dissipate. And the Steelers, of course, lost that game, but at least they were in that game. They were never in the game today. The Bills get a 98-yard touchdown play on the third play from scrimmage. They got bored is the only reason they didn't score to the 50s. You know, they barely tried in the second half. It was embarrassing for the Steelers. I can't say I thought they were going to win, but I didn't think they would lose to this degree. I didn't think they get blown out in the first half to the point where the other team felt no need to try in the second. And if you look at the way they're playing and who they got and who's good, which is almost none of them, and who's bad, which is almost all of them, it ain't going to get better. I mean, I don't see any game the rest of the way they should win. There are a couple they probably will, but they're going to go into the bye 1-7. There's no doubt about that. How could anybody bet against that?
Yeah, unless you look at the quarterback situation for the Dolphins, I could see them scraping that one out potentially. But then again, based on how the defense is performing, it doesn't matter if you're going up against a third-string quarterback. Anybody can pick apart that defense, especially if T.J. Watt isn't part of the equation. And we found out this week that equation completely changed because of his knee scope that he had.
Well, Tim, I'm not the kind of guy to say I told you so, but I told everybody so. They signed into that big extension with all that money guaranteed, like 80 mil. And, you know, since then, he's been hurt as often as not. And you don't pay guys to win awards or to get, you know, the sack record. You pay them to impact winning. And look at their record without him, and that doesn't prove his value. I mean, well, abstractly it does, but it also proves they shouldn't have given him a long-term deal. They should have franchised him and gone year by year. I said that then. It's been proven out since. And I don't think you're ever going to get anything resembling a full season out of T.J. Watt ever again. And it's such a bad defense without him, although we shouldn't overestimate how good it was with him. I mean, last year it wasn't like they were unbeatable with him in the lineup, but the fact that they're, what is it now, 0-8-1 without him since the beginning of last year, wow, that does speak volumes, Tim.
It really does, and the absence of a pass rush was dramatic today because the secondary, which isn't that great beyond Minka Fitzpatrick to begin with, was decimated due to injury. Then again, Mark, look at Buffalo's secondary. They lost a lot better players. They lost Tre'Davious White. They also lost Micah Hyde. They lost Jordan Poyer, who was the defensive player of the week last week and an all-pro. Those guys weren't playing, and you wouldn't have noticed it. I mean, I know it's a rookie quarterback going up against him and all, but which team handled those bad circumstances better today?
Well, there's a difference, Tim. The Bills are a good team.
Yeah.
The Steelers are a bad team. They use injuries as an excuse. The Bills are a good team. They overcome injury. I mean, the Steelers are a bad team. We need to stop dancing around that and just say they stink because they stink.
That's a good point, and it's one, I think, that is glossed over because the national media, let alone the local media, but the national media, especially on game days like this, underscore the false narrative that there's never been anything wrong with the Steelers up until this year, or up until like when Ben Roethlisberger's elbow exploded in 2019, and they use that as a catch-all explanation. But that's just not true. Like, Nance and Romo on the broadcast today were waxing on and on about how rare it is to see the Steelers in this kind of situation. They were down 29-0 against Minnesota last year. They were down like 30-0 against KC once, and then I think it was like 38-14 another time against KC in the playoffs. It's just not true. It's a false narrative that's constantly spun about the Steelers.
Well, like Orlovsky said on ESPN, he said it about the defense, and this was in the offseason, but it applies to the whole team. Nationally, especially, there's this romanticized notion of what the Steelers are, and we try to see it there even when it's not. And that's even, you know, continuing now, Tim, and you look at the new Golden Boy, Kenny Pickett. You know, he wasn't very good. I mean, for a rookie quarterback, I'm going to cut him some slack, but he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in six quarters. You would expect better, especially with all the hype surrounding him starting his first game, but he did nothing out there. And he's not the reason they lost, but he is the reason they didn't hang in there longer, perhaps. That said, that offensive game plan is just deadly. I mean, my God, no matter who the quarterback is, Tim, they throw short of the sticks, don't they?
Well, I've been on the short of the sticks bandwagon for 2 years now. It drives me crazy. It started with Feetner. It went to a new level with Canada. I was going back crazy about it last year. And the only reason I'm not doing so even more now is I'm just conditioned to it. It happens so often, Mark. I don't notice it as much as I did a season ago because it happens all the time.
Yeah, but Tim, don't you agree that Pickett was only adequate in these six corners and at sometimes maybe not adequate? In fact, I think he had more subpar moments than great moments.
I thought today, you know, I'll agree with Tomlin on one point, which was everybody was so bad, it's hard to individually critique. But as we try to with Pickett, if we're going to use the same standards that we did for Trubisky, which is points are points and there's not enough points, there's only 3 points on the board, Mark. So, yeah, I mean, you got to be more critical. Like, I don't know exactly how many times it was, but they had 18 third or fourth downs, and they failed on 13 of them. That's got to be partially on the quarterback.
Well, yeah, more than partially on the quarterback. If it was Mitch Trubisky, they'd be in the streets with pitchforks and torches. But it's Golden Boy Kenny, so you're going to cut him slack. And I understand the concept of cutting a rookie some slack, but Tomlin mangled the quarterback switch, Tim, badly. If Pickett was good enough to start, then he should have started the season. If they wanted to break him in slow, then they should have waited till the bye week. But Tom will put him in at halftime of the Jets game in a half-assed effort to save a season that couldn't be saved. They lost that game anyway, and now they're throwing him to the Wolves in today's game and in the three games to follow. They're putting him in a position to fail. And that's, you know, 101 when you put a rookie in the lineup in any position in any sport, you try to put him in a position to succeed. And Kenny Pickett has been put in a position to fail. Now, I don't think that'll damage him, but I'm not sure it does him any good either.
Do you think he has been so preemptively buttered up by the media and the fan base here that it will actually allow for a Trevor Lawrence-esque acclimation in Pittsburgh, even though the standards are allegedly higher than they are, say, in a Jacksonville or New York with Zach Wilson?
Yeah, the standards ain't going to be higher next year, Tim, because I'm telling you for sure, this is not a one-year rebuilding job. Okay, they're not going to make the playoffs next year either. Not even going to get a sniff. Jacksonville's coming on this year. Pittsburgh won't come on in similar fashion next year. And it's becoming apparent to me, as banged up and nearly crippled as Ben Roethlisberger was, he was the main reason they won as much as they did last year, because he had the guile to keep the game close for three quarters and then win it in the fourth. He understood exactly how to script the game. And now, with a rookie in there, good luck with that.
We talked about the investment in T.J. Watt and how that's being compromised by injury. We're going to have to start worrying the same thing about Pat Freiermuth, Mark. This is likely his third concussion already early into his second season.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Pat Freiermuth, but you know, that's not going to impact them the way T.J. Watt's body falling apart at the beginning of last year and keeping on falling apart nonstop till now does. I mean, T.J. Watt, I mean, Tim, I don't think he'll be playing football in a couple more years. I think this is going to happen again and again, just like I said it would. Who told you me? That's who, Mark Madden, the super genius. I told you so. You know, Pat Freiermuth, I mean, I wish they would have drafted Creed Humphrey. And ironically, they didn't because he got hurt.
You know, now looking at what's going on with Najee Harris, too, that might have something to do with injury. That might have something to...
Yeah, but if he's injured, don't play him. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm operating on the presumption he stinks. Deontay Johnson, all those drops, he stinks. I mean, we're looking at circumstances to why this team isn't good. I'll tell you why it's not good. It's poorly coached, poorly assembled, has a bunch of crappy players. That's why it's not very good. Any analysis past that is stretching.
And defensively, can't blame Keith Butler anymore. It's got to be about Tomlin, got to be about Austin, got to be about what Brian Flores isn't.
What about miracle worker Brian Flores, Tim? Oh, hallelujah, we brought in Brian Flores, the miracle worker. Oh, wait, what, the defense still stinks? Oh, darn.
Yeah, and one thing, speaking of linebackers, that doesn't need to happen for this defense is 15 free yards like was given by Miles Jack, the new inside linebacker this year, on that defensive late hit after a play was done, basically.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah, that happened in a vacuum. What about the hits on Pickett? What'd you think of the Hamlin hit? What'd you think of the hit outside of the pocket by Lawson?
They were both crappy. I actually like seeing the Steelers and Pickett fight back a little bit, but who cares? Again, that's micro-analyzing something that did not contribute to the loss in any way.
No, it's a sidebar story. I do think there's something to the theory that he's a rookie and they're going to let him get plastered, whereas, like, you know, a more veteran quarterback, like Josh Allen, gets those calls, I think.
Yeah, but who cares? I mean, I hate to be so cavalier about that, but, you know, they got crushed. I don't care about Kenny Pickett getting hit late.
What do you think Pickett's ceiling?
Wasn't the one dude who hit him late from Pitt?
Hamlin was from Pitt, yeah, on the first one on the slide. Yeah, he probably thought that he was fake sliding, Mark. That was probably going through his head.
Is he any relation to Howard Hamlin?
Well, it didn't end too well for him, did it?
Because if so, the Steelers should look at the waiver wire and pick up Jorge de Guzman.
Mark Madden with us from 105.9 The X. You can hear Mark Monday through Friday, 3 until 6 on The X, and you can hear him four times a week at Trib Live. You can also check out Madden Ben's Unfiltered. That's going to be at 9:30 a.m. on Monday. Mark, you and I will not speak on this podcast between now and when Penguin season starts, so let's talk about them. Looks like they managed to get under the salary cap by $83,000 today by manipulating the blue line with Friedman and Smith. What do you think of those moves and where the Penguins are as a collective now versus how the season wrapped up a year ago?
I think they're a playoff team, and I think they're remarkably similar to last year. And if you made me pick what they're going to do in the playoffs, I bet they lose in the first round. I will say, there are a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference that you look at that didn't make the playoffs last year that could sneak up. But by the same token, if you made me predict now, I'd say the same eight teams that made it last year will make it this year. I think there's a number of improving teams, but none improving enough to get there.
Who's the biggest threat? And if the Penguins aren't the most likely to slip, then who is?
Washington's the most likely to slip.
Okay.
I just think they look creaky. And the Penguins are old too, but Washington looks creakier. I see, like, Ovi's still scoring a lot of goals. I think his all-around game, I don't want to say it's fading, but, you know, don't forget, Tim, it's a fine line. Even if it decreases a little bit, you know, the Capitals could I don't want to say sink. I mean, like what if they finished, like, 3 points out of the playoffs? That wouldn't mean they collapsed, right?
No, not if you're 3 points out of the playoffs. I mean, I guess you could call it a collapse based on how far they might have to fall if nobody else rises up. But now,
yeah, but teams will rise up. If nothing else, there will be a smaller gap. Remember there was that huge gap between the playoff teams and the non-playoff teams in the East last year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that gap was that relatively pretty obvious by about the holidays?
Yes, I don't think that's going to happen this year. But Backstrom, you know, is hurt a lot. He's kind of been compromised. John Carlson's not quite as good as he used to be. I still have doubts about their goaltending. So, yeah, Washington to me would be the most likely to fade. As far as who moves up, boy, I don't know. I mean, how about the Islanders gave $72 million to a guy who scored 15 goals last year?
Yeah, yeah.
Not that Barzal's not a good player. I just can't give him $72 million. But you know what that comes under the heading of, Tim? See what, TJ? Oh, we can't have our star guy unhappy. What do you want? Okay, you can have it.
Mark, is the blue line different enough to impact the way they play with Petrie and Ruta on board now?
I think the penalty killing will be better. Root is a real good penalty killer, and he could switch sides on the PK. He did that quite often with Tampa Bay. I like the blue line. The biggest worry about the blue line is Petrie was monumentally bad in Washington last year. And, you know, generally that's seen as a fluke, but, you know, let's hope, right? because it's really the only bad year he's had since he established himself in the league. But I think if Petrie plays like he can play and has played before last year, I think then it's a really strong defense score.
Are they going to get the same impact out of Ruta if Ruta's not playing on the ice with a skater comparable to what Hedman was when he was on the ice with him?
Well, Tim, I hate to break the news to you. We don't have a Hedman.
Yeah, I know that.
And isn't it Rutta? I always mispronounce it too. But I always find it hard to compare how a guy's going to adapt from team to team until you see him more.
Yeah, because we all thought Cody Ceci wasn't going to be any good, and he was pretty good.
I mean, who's Rutta supposed to partner with, like, right now?
What, POJ? I mean, like, he's the fifth guy, right?
Yeah, I guess so. So, I mean, POJ is a good skater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think there's many a slip Twix Cup in 82 games. Maybe not the Stanley Cup either. I mixed my metaphors there badly. but you know, I think the big factor with the Penguins this year is that Tristan Jarry, for me, is capable of hitting another level. I think he really showed us something last year. He finished top 10 in all the major goaltender categories. In fact, no lower than eighth in any of them. But I think he needs to become the kind of goalie that not only, you know, puts up good numbers, but steals games. I'll give you a case in point. Let me get back to football. Deontay Johnson, by season's end, is going to have X amount of catches for X amount of yards, and his stats look good, correct?
Yeah, if you don't count the drops.
Well, I am counting the drops, because that's what makes him a guy who doesn't help, okay? Tristan Jarry, to do everything he can for this team, has to be a guy who gets his stats and steals wins. And I think he's capable of that, but then again, we thought his playoff redemption would come this past year, and he was hurt. And I don't penalize him for losing Game 7, Tim, do you? He basically, you know, played on one foot.
No, I don't put Game 7 on him at all. In fact, he outperformed what I thought he would be able to do, given injury and rust. And now, hearing how injured he really was when he got back on the ice, that makes it all the more easy to assuage any angst you might have towards him in the way he played. I think, yeah, I don't put any of last year on him. And I do agree with you, Mark, in principle. You've said this many times, the irony in the way we move the goalposts and talking about Tristan Jarry, in that the loss last year in the postseason of the Rangers is explained away by saying, well, Jarry didn't play, but the previous year against the Islanders, it was, well, you know, Jarry blew it. So
right, it's the same guy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, but I still think Jarry can reach a different level, and I think the organization is hoping for that too. Otherwise, Tim, it's just about the same team. I mean, we've talked about Petrie and Rutta, and they got this paling up front, you know, but it's basically the same team, isn't it?
Who's going to be the more likely to contribute positively as the sixth of the top six forwards? Is it Heinen? Is it Zucker? What do you think?
Well, I mean, Zucker's going to start the season top six, you would think, right?
I would think, but again, to go to TJ Watt, how long before he gets hurt?
No, and that's put them in a bad spot. I mean, Heinen came through last year with 19 goals and was rewarded by getting really lowballed with what he signed to play with. But, you know, that's just the life in the cap lane. Surely make you lose your mind.
Danton, you know, Smith-Schuster.
You know, I like Heinen, but I just don't like him in the top six.
Right. Yeah, sure. I get it. Yeah.
You know, I think at some point they need to force feed Kapanen in the top six, because that's what he was drafted to be. But I don't know who you drop down the lineup. Maybe you move Raquel to left wing. Maybe that coincides with the Zucker injury, where you move Raquel to left wing and put Kapanen right wing in the top six.
Finally, Mark, it has been 30 years come Friday since Francisco Cabrera and Sid Bream. Will it be another 30 before the Pirates ever make the playoffs again?
I think it'll be longer than that. I'm not kidding.
You're probably right. You know, it's funny. Like, I've talked to a lot of guys for a piece I'm doing on the Trib about this later in the week, the 30th, I don't want to say anniversary, well, I'll say anniversary, not celebration, retrospective of what happened 30 years ago. And a lot of them say, man, we knew it was going to be bad after Bonds and Drabek left in 92, but we didn't think it'd be this bad. I don't know, Mark. I remember watching that game thinking, it's going to be really bad, and they're not going to be good for a long, long time. And, you know, if you'd built the time machine and said it's going to be 20 years before they make the playoffs again, I would have bought it. Maybe not 24 out of 30. Sorry, take that back. 26 out of 30 losing seasons. But The fact that they've been this terrible doesn't shock me.
I talked to Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. He's doing a big feature as well on the 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
And I told him, I thought watching that game, I even knew where I was when I saw it and who I was with. John Anthony's Bar in Plum, by the way, Tim. I'm not even sure if it's still open. That was my deck hockey days. We went there after deck hockey to watch the game. And I thought it was over for a long time after that. And I think they defied the odds when they did between 20, 13, and 15. Like I wrote in a trip piece I did for the weekend, even if you're not trying to win, if you keep drafting high and keep trading players for prospects, some of those prospects will ultimately come good to some degree. And then it's whether you spend to augment. But, you know, how long do you win? How long do you keep a core, which the Pirates didn't for only but the 3 years, and then disassembled it the minute it became even a slight bit expensive. So I just think the way this team has won precludes winning. It could happen accidentally a year here, a year there, but not to the degree where they do crazy stuff like win playoff series, Tim.
How far away are the other two teams? 30 years as well?
Who, the Steelers and Penguins?
Yeah.
No, they try to win. I mean, you mean winning a championship?
Yeah.
Oh God, I bet one of them wins a championship in the next 10, 15 years.
Is that enough to keep Mark Madden on the air chasing another championship for the Steelers or the Penguins?
I'm not even sure it's enough to keep me alive.
Even the Penguins? What about Liverpool? What about Liverpool?
Liverpool lost today to Arsenal, Tim. 2 wins, 2 losses, 4 draws in their first 8 games. It's not gone well. But next week we get an easy game, Man City.
Oh, that's like the Steelers. Next week they get Tom Brady.
Well, as I'm going to say, talking about it on the show and the brief time I spend talking about Liverpool, you play Man City at Anfield, you know, at Liverpool's home stadium. The season either ends or resets one way or the other and in a big way. Or the game ends in a draw and we just keep bleeding out very slowly.
And there's nothing more enjoyable than that. Just ask the average Steeler fan right about now.
See, here's the thing. I said this today. I did an appearance at Pleasant Valley Golf Club. They have a real nice sports bar down in Connellsville.
Yeah.
And I was saying, listen, I'm a good sports fan. When my teams struggle, I might get frustrated, but I make an attempt to understand why, and I never get too mad. You know, sometimes you just don't have a good year.
Because they've constantly chased not having that bad year. They've put themselves in a position where they're so thin depth-wise, where a few things go wrong, and they are going to have that bad year. It's kind of a self-defeating prophecy where they've, as you've said many times, ended up staying middle, drafting middle, and, well, now they're going to be sub-middle the rest of the year, I can tell you that.
Tim, how many more games do you think they're going to win?
Well, let's see. I think they're going to beat the Dolphins, especially if they're going up against...
Really? You think they're going to beat the Dolphins at Miami?
I mean, they just lost 40-17 to the Jets. Like, let's see where Tua and Bridgewater are by the time that comes around. If Tua or Bridgewater are starting, then maybe it's a different story. But, you know, like, it's the NFL, Mark. They're going to win a game that they're not supposed to win every couple weeks. But I'm thinking 4-5 at this point, maybe a 4-5 win team. And if you're a 4-5 win team, you're drafting top six.
Yeah, well, if they're going to win 5, they may as well just win the 1.
Well, you know, I think you're going to see guys like Watt maybe not come back from the arthroscopic knee surgery. I think you might see Pat Freiermuth not play for a long, long time with this concussion.
I'm gonna disagree. I think those guys will come back as soon as possible, and maybe too early, because even right now, Mike Tomlin, in that twisted vision of his, thinks this season is savable, and he's trying to figure out how to do it.
Mark Madden and I will talk about it more. Madden Ben's Unfiltered.
And by the way, Tim, forgive the interruption. It's not savable. And I actually think if Tomlin would realize for once at long last that it's not savable and coach accordingly, not tank, but use it more as a proving ground and a bridge season, he would accomplish more than he will trying to save it.
If any of you listening to the podcast right now have come to that realization, then check us out tomorrow. Read Mark 4 times a week at Trib Live. Read me, Breakfast with Benz, and it'll make a lot more sense to you now. Maybe that's hit you in the head that the Steelers are who they are. This is the Mad Monday Podcast.